It is good to see each one of y'all as we're meeting corporately. Zoom is okay. Facebook Live can get you by, but that physical presence, there's nothing that replaces that. And so I think as we think of the things that have happened in the last several months, it makes you stop and think and to appreciate things that so often we take for granted. Today is a special day. Who would know what it is? Sunday. There you go. Donald Trump's birthday. But I didn't know that. Diane informed me of that. It is also Children's Sunday. How many of you children knew that it was Children's Sunday? I see zero hands flashing. So your parents might have gifts for you when you get home. I don't know. Probably not. We beg the parents, not the others, not to forget the fathers. So just putting a plug in. But it is Children's Sunday. Next Sunday is Father's Day, as we know. But it's also something else that y'all probably don't know. But it's June 14th. You know that. But it is my oldest grandson's birthday. You probably didn't think of that. But it is also the 45th anniversary of my mother's death. How many in here are less than 45 years old? Raise your hand. That's amazing. That is amazing. The question that came up in my mind, what will people be saying about you in 45 years after your death? If they're honest, rather than just the nice things that people say at funerals about somebody that is laying there and can't defend himself. My brother-in-law, Billy, wrote a tribute to my mom about a week ago. Makes you stop and think. One person, because of one person, of course, you had two people, but of one person, of the people that are now on this earth and of the impact that those people are now making on this earth, even 45 years hence, for the positive. What will people say about you when you've been dead 45 years? Or will they say anything? Will they remember you? My sermon title is, sorry Jeremy, I didn't get it to you, simply, Are You All In? And I want to talk about the subject of faith today. Why is there turmoil in this world? Have you thought of that in the last couple weeks? Why is there turmoil? There could be a lot of answers for that, right? How many of you have gotten the feeling that there is, and raise your hand on this, that there is nothing that is safe or secure anymore? I have. Yeah. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand here, but how many of you have felt as you watch the news and listen to what's going on around us that truth is variable? Meaning, I have my truth, you have your truth, you have your truth, and you have your truth. And we're just all going to be one big happy family and have our own truths. But my truth will contradict your truth, but that's okay. And your truth contradicts Kevin's truth, but that's okay. No, it's not okay. That's the problem, brothers and sisters. Truth is not variable. But in today's climate that we have around us, it feels like truth is variable. You don't have to watch real long on the news at the scenes that are going on that you get angry. I do. I get angry. I'm like, what a bunch of thugs. They're thugs. But then pause a little bit and then think, what is going on? Why are they doing this? And I would venture to say some don't even know what they're out there for. You know, there's protests and there's riots. You know, we heard the thing that protests are one of our rights as American citizens. Rioting is not a right. Why do you feel you need to protest? And then why do you feel you need to riot? Do you think that these people that are the thugs, even, they're trying to make a difference? Maybe. I can't. Maybe they're trying to make a statement? Maybe. But as you look at these people doing these despicable things, like, hello, you live in this city and you're burning down your own restaurants. You're burning down your own buildings. How is that positive for you personally in living in that city? Go burn somebody else's city down if you want to do something, you would think. But it's mindless. I think it's mindless, some of this, because it's a mob spirit. So if you think for a little bit and just give reflection and ponder and do all these other creative things, I've come to this, maybe not real much, but somewhat, and that is, I look at these people and even these thugs, and I feel sorry for them. Maybe not much, but somewhat. Because they're trying to find meaning and value in life. Brothers and sisters, you're not going to find meaning and value in life if your truth is variable. I'm sorry, it's not there. How many of you have given thought of thanking God for how you were raised? I don't think any of you had a horrible home life, but let's say some of you did. Even in the most awfulest home life that you might have had, probably all of us were raised to some degree of recognizing who God is. Recognizing what God's word is. And when I look at people who are out here destroying and they're trying to make a difference, they just, I'm sure, brothers and sisters, their world feels out of control. Even in the midst of taking a baseball bat and a brick and throwing it through windows. I don't know what all goes through their mind. But they're trying to find meaning and they're trying to find value. There's not a one of us, I don't think, that's alive that doesn't want to have a meaningful life. But have you thanked God? Coming back to that. Have you thought about thanking God for what you have been taught, and even maybe unknowingly you were taught this and you've taken on this mindset unknowingly maybe. And that is, we all have different opinions. What I think you should do, and what you think you should do, and what you think he should do, and what you think she should do, that can vary. For every one of us, we're not mindless beings. We are people who were created in God's image, and he gave us minds to reason. But what you've been taught, without you even realizing it maybe, is this right here is our guide. God's word is here. I can function anywhere in here, but I can't get around this. For us as recognizing God's word, we do not go past God's word. It is our ceiling and it's our floor. We can operate in this realm here, but we can't go past it. We understand that. We understand that as people who have been taught that God's word is the final authority. His word is truth. The sad thing is, there's a lot of people in this world. There's lots of people that are trying to find value and meaning in life that don't know that. So therefore, their truth is variable. It's whatever fits the narrative today. Can we just thank God in a greater way for the teaching that we have received? No matter even how bad you think your dad might have been, or how bad your mom might have been, or how neglectful your dad might have been, or how neglectful your mom might have been. But we've been taught. It's priceless. And there's a lot of people in our world around us that would love to have that kind of boundary. But they don't know that. They don't know that they would love to have that. They don't know that that would give them a much greater sense of belonging, a much greater sense of where to go. Doesn't make you a Christian by knowing that God's word is ultimate authority. We still each have to make that decision. But a blessing that God's word is the final authority. We don't go beyond it. Period. I didn't tell Mark what I was sharing on today, but he was talking about in the songs about God's word. There's a song that came to my mind, and I'm not going to sing it, and I'm not going to ask you to sing it. It's an old one. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. And there's several more verses. Christ Jesus is our anchor. God is our refuge and strength. Christ Jesus is our rock. He's our anchor. He is the one that has made us available for us to get to God, because he also is God. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God. By faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God. You have been taught how to have faith, even from little on up, because you were taught that the worlds were formed by the word of God. God said it. It was. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance of things that we hope for. It's evidence of things not seen. People can call you a fool. People can say you are insane. People can say you are crazy. By the faith that you exhibit in the Word of God, but they cannot come against you and make it stick. Because at the end of the day, as you live out your faith, they're going to go home that night and they're going to shake their head and say, what in the world is going on? They're crazy. But there's something going on. There's something different about him. There's something different about her. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible, not hard to, it is impossible to please God. So he that comes to him must believe that he is. So if we come to God, we must believe that he is God. And that he is also a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That word diligently stuck out to me. Are you diligently seeking? It says he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you don't diligently seek him, maybe you can still be okay. I don't know. I'd say you're on risky territory. But he is a rewarder. For sure, he will reward you if you diligently seek him. And why would you not? If you want to find meaning, if you want to find value in life. Brothers and sisters, if your faith is not safe to die for, your faith is not worth living for. If the faith you have is not safe, if the faith you have, you cannot trust it to take you to the grave, you ain't got much. Our faith has to be something much, much greater than that's just something within myself or something that I conjure up. Hebrews 12 says, therefore, having so many witnesses, and it's talking about what happened in chapter 11, and of all the heroes of faith, we won't go into that. We're surrounded by people who lived before us and lived out a godly faith. He says, let us lay aside. In other words, get rid of anything that doesn't count. Get rid of and junk. Get rid of baggage. Do you have baggage? Are there things that are in your life? Are there people that have done things in your life that it just hangs on? It's not worth it. Then he says that we are to strengthen the hands which hang down and our feeble knees. It says to make straight paths in verse 13. Make straight paths for your feet. Again, to me, I would think of it, you make a straight path. If you go into someone's house, none of you here, that is just horribly cluttered. It is hard to make a straight path for your feet. Because there's garbage, there's junk, there's baggage there that doesn't need to be there. Verse 14 in Hebrews 12 says that we are to pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which, I think it says, no one shall see the Lord. Doesn't mean, brothers and sisters, you to be a pushover. It doesn't mean that you'll allow people to take advantage of you. But it says to pursue peace. Doesn't mean that you just live your life and don't be confrontational. But it says that you are to pursue. You are to go after peace. Even with someone who is not at peace with you. You go after it. You make that peace. What he's saying here is each one of us, we need to be strong. And I think what he's saying that is, as we need to be strong, I need you and you need me. Verse 15 there says, to be careful that we don't fall short of the grace of God, lest a root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble and defiles many. It says, be careful, be careful, be very careful of that. To fall short of the grace of God. Well, what is the definition of God's grace? I would say the definition of God's grace is the ability and the strength to do the things that I know I need to do. When you look at the thugs, you look at the rioters doing these despicable things, you can feel sorry for them because they don't have that grace working in their life. They don't have God's grace. Therefore, they don't have that ability to do the things that they need to do. They just do whatever feels good at the moment or whatever someone else is doing. Romans 4, 18 to 22 says, talking about Abraham, I'm going to have the children, I'm going to have you all come up here in just a little bit and sit on these front benches, but I'll tell you when. Verse 18 says, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. This is talking about Abraham. So that he may become the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Being fully convinced that what God had promised, God would perform. Abraham was fully convinced. And it says, therefore, it was accounted. Therefore, it was put in his bank account, as it were, righteousness. It was counted as righteousness. Because Abraham believed, but not only did Abraham believe, or he did believe, but that belief was not just saying he believed. That faith that he had wasn't just saying he had faith, but he lived it out. Are you living out that faith that you say you have? If somebody sees you next week, can they tell that you have that saving faith? Abraham didn't always have that. Or he struggled. Genesis 17, verse 1. And Kevin shared on this back in February of about 2018, I think. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. Drop down to verse 16. Talks about Sarah now. I will bless her and also give you a son by her, and then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old, and shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Children, who in here do you think is old? Look at Miss Diane over here. She's old, right? Would that be funny if she'd come around having a new baby? She's old, right? You're the only one I felt safe doing that with. Sorry. But it said, Sarah was 90 years old, and she gave birth. Well, listen, this is where Abraham, he struggled with this because remember, Sarah had put Hagar, Now, let me rephrase that. Sarah told Abraham to have a child with Hagar because she didn't have any children. And Abraham obliged. Hello. And she conceived. We'll go on. So, Ishmael was already on the scene. So God told Abraham, you will have a son by Sarah. Sarah will conceive and give birth to a son. Abraham laughed. He fell down and laughed. I don't blame him. But look how Abraham tried to help out God. Verse 18 in chapter 17 says, and Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. He was offering God a little bit of help because God kind of got out of control. God said, no. How many times have you tried to help out God and God came back and said, no. Stop right now. Stop. I don't need your help. God told Abraham, no. Sarah, your wife, shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. There wasn't a whole lot of questions to what God had in mind and what he was going to do. But Abraham tried to help out God. How many times do you try to help out God? But he did. When he knew God spoke, he believed, and it was settled. Children, y'all want to come forward and sit on these benches up here? Over here. Sit. On these chairs, not benches. How silly was that? Hi, my name is Jerry. Hadn't seen her in a long time. You've been to Ohio, haven't you? Yeah. Did you know today is your day? It's called Children's Sunday. Yeah. So y'all get special recognition. Should we have all the parents clap for you today? Yeah, let's. Let's give the children a hand. Woo-hoo! You're special, right? Do you know that? Yeah, I hope every one of you knows that and understands that. I was wondering, as I was thinking of talking to you all a little bit, do your mom and dad ever make, first of all, do they ever make you obey? Like, you do this, Lincoln, you have to go over and do this. Lincoln, you're not allowed to do this. Or Addison, you have to do this. TJ, you have to. Do they? Do they say, do this, don't do that? Isn't it kind of crazy? Don't you think it's kind of goofy sometimes the things they make you do? Or the things that they tell you not to do? Right? I mean, parents are kind of, It seems goofy, doesn't it? But you know what? Probably for the most of you, you don't have the option to tell mom or dad no when they give you an instruction to do, right? When mom and dad tell you to do something, it better be yes, ma'am, or yes, sir, right? You have to do it, right? Because there are consequences if you don't obey. So you know what you're doing when you do that? When you obey, you are exercising faith. Obedience and faith can't really be separated, but they can be. When you obey, you're exercising faith because you're doing something that just left yourself. You wouldn't do it. And that's what Abraham did too. He believed God. He was an old man, 99 years old, and he had a little baby boy. Can you believe that? That's old. Isaac, when he was born, his mom was 90 years old. That's pretty old. But he believed God, and he did what God said. And you know what? Today, I've done a lot of weddings where, you know, the man and the lady get up here, and I say, do you promise to love and to cherish and provide and care for as long as you both shall live? And they say, he says, yes. And then you ask her the rest, and she says, yes. And they're all giddy and happy and smiley. But do you know what? I usually have a prayer when I get done with the wedding ceremony. And you know what words are in there a lot of times when I pray? Towards the end of that prayer, I'll say, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob be with you. It's talking about this Abraham that I was talking about. That's who we are praying about. We're not praying to him. We're praying to God, but we're referencing Abraham and Abraham's son and Abraham's grandson. How many thousands of years later we still are talking about the faith of Abraham? Do you think that you could be that kind of a person growing up? That you could have that kind of faith? That's what you want to do, is you want to live your life to be obedient, first of all, to your parents as you grow up, and then at a certain time in your life, you give your heart to Jesus. And then you allow Jesus to rule and to take care of everything in your life, and that you would do everything that he asks you to do. We must always trust God, even when we don't see the end results. Okay, stay there. I am going to let you pick one. Which one? These are Reese pieces and these are Reese cups. Oh, this is good times here, ain't it? Better hurry, Zane. Take that one. That was a good one. And even one for you. You're welcome. She didn't try it. Okay, now, what I would like, don't eat it now. What I want you all to do is to stand up and look around and see what other children are in the audience here. There's some children in here that didn't come up here this morning. Now, I would like, wait, oh, well, just a minute. I would like for you, because those children would like your candy, and I would like for you to just go give your candy to one of those children if you want to. Who would want to do that? Whoever wants to do that, go ahead and do that now. Okay, and the rest of you can go sit down. Thank you for being good boys and girls on Children's Sunday. Now, everyone that gave someone candy, every one of you kids that went and gave your candy away, come back up again. The ones that did not give your candy away, you can stay sitting. They all knew what was coming. Okay. You can pick two. You can pick two. You can pick two. Is that everybody that gave away? Okay, thank you. You can go back. The moral of the story is, when you give things away, you don't know that you'll get something back. But often that happens to where, when we give away the very thing that we want to keep, man, I want to eat that candy myself. But when we're willing to give it away, God returns to us more than what we had. Not always. And that's not why we should give. But it does happen that way a lot of times. But it also helps us as we deal with our own heart that we look out for the good and for the needs of others. Thank you, children, for humoring me in that today. I want to look at Romans 5 quickly yet, and then we'll try to get out of here shortly. Romans 5, I want to look at the first five verses. Romans chapter 5. And we already talked about Abraham, and it references Abraham in Romans chapter 4. And then in Romans chapter 5, it talks about us. He says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have been justified by faith. This we that it's talking about is not just the run-of-the-mill people. This is a special group of people who have given their hearts and lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So it says, we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Having been justified, we have peace. Without being justified, we have no peace. You see the sign says, no justice, no peace. We are that guilty person that justice needed to be served to. And short of God sending Jesus into human flesh, we were goners. There was no hope for us. It says, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Through whom, which is Jesus, and only Jesus. Don't ever let anyone tell you that there's many gods, but there's one God. It's a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and you know that. But it's one God through His Son Jesus, that we have to accept this Son Jesus as being the one we go through. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So through Jesus, we have access by the faith that we represent to God. And then He gives us this grace that a non-believer does not have. It's accessed, this faith that we have gives us the ability to do the things that we need to do, which is called God's grace. Verse 2, the last part of it says, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. In the previous chapters, talk about Abraham, and it says in verse 18 that it was contrary to hope. He says, Abraham, who contrary to hope, in hope, believed. Like, there was no hope there. I mean, you can't have children when you're 90 years old. You can't father children when you're 99 years old. But says Abraham believed. And it says it was counted to him for righteousness. Verse 21 says that Abraham was fully convinced of God's promises. And verse 22 says the word therefore. It was counted as righteousness. So our faith that we have is counted as righteousness, but only when we believe and when our belief comes with action. I can say all day long that I believe something. I can say all day long I have faith in something. But until I put it into action, it's nothing. Verse 3, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And I'll just read the other verses. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. It says, not only that, but we glory in tribulation. You're not going to like, you don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like the thought of tribulation. I can't think of a great thing of glorying in the fact that, man, I hope tomorrow I'll really have to go through something. We don't. There's none of us. But in spite of whatever happens to us, we trust, we believe, and we hope in God. We glory in tribulations. Tribulations cause perseverance. What does perseverance do? Does it not build your strength? When you struggle against holding something, it builds up our strength. How many of you have gone through rough times in your life? How many of you have gone through terrible times in your life? My mom dying 45 years ago was a terrible time in my life. It was. But I look back and it was a blessing today. I look at it as a blessing because it made things happen. And you've heard me say that before. So rather than looking at the things that we face as problematic and terrible, do the best you can to look at them as a blessing in disguise. It's just what it is for right now. As bad as things can be that happen to us, and there are terrible things that happen to us, perseverance builds character. And as we would sometimes say, it'll make a man out of you. For us as men, it'll make a man out of you having to go through some of this stuff. It'll make a man out of you. 1 Corinthians 15:58 tells us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Even when it don't make sense, you abound, you do what you know is right. You do what you know is the right thing to do, whether you feel it or whether you don't. You don't do what is wrong, even if you feel like it. You don't do it. Stop it. We always do what is right. That's why you can go back and you can look at these people who do not have God's grace living and moving in their life. They don't have that ability to not do something that they want to do because their flesh controls them. We have taken our flesh captive, but it's not me and it's not you, but it's the grace of God that is living in and through you because you have committed yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We dads, we need to be dads. We need to teach and to train. And sometimes it has to do with laying hands on our children, as it were. But we need to teach and to train by our example. I think sometimes we cause confusion to our children because you're asking me to do this as your child, but yet I see you doing this. And I guarantee you, your child will not respond to you and say, well, Dad, but you... It's just normal. That's just how dads are. And brothers, you don't have much time. You don't have much time left. Your kids are going to grow up real fast. We dads need to be dads. So when we go through the tribulations and it builds up our character and then our character increases our hope, it makes us realize that this world is not our home. And I don't know how many of you have given much thought of this in the last several weeks, but I have, and it's like, oh good Lord, why don't you just come get us? Why don't you come get us, Lord, and take us home? This world is terrible. I don't know what we're going to face. You don't know what we're going to face. But it could be that we will face some terrible times in the next year or 2 years. You're going to have some faith that is more than just this feel good something. You've got to have this faith that is a sold out faith, and you're going to have a trust and a belief in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and you're going to have to allow Him to work and to move in your life, maybe in ways that you have never had to do that. But we're going to need each other. We need each other even now, but we don't realize it because we've had good times. Why has God's blessing been on the United States? When you look at, 80, 90% of the rest of the world, it's terrible. And we think it's just normal. It's just because that I'm such a good person. No, it's not. There's none of us that are good except by God's grace and that coming through us, allowing Him to move and live through us. Revelation 20. I didn't want to do this, but it's the end of the Bible. But in Revelation 22, 1 through 5 says, this is John, what he saw. This is what he saw as a picture of heaven. Imagine this as the place that you're going to go to. Okay? You can close your eyes, you can think about this as I read it. And he showed me a pure river of life. This isn't just imaginary. This is going to be reality for us as God's children one day. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. How many of you children can think of heaven and be glad that there is no night there? Because sometimes the darkness is kind of scary, right? Even for big people. But it says, there will be no night there. Nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. What a beautiful picture. This is where hopefully each one of us is headed to. But you're going to have to persevere. You're going to have that living faith. Not just the faith that you say you have, but it has to be something that is alive. And here's what I didn't want to read, but it's the end of the Bible. Verse 12, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Works, 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 works. If you have nothing to show for your faith, you don't have saving faith. Sorry, that's what it says. We are saved by grace through faith alone. No works. But brothers and sisters, when I make that proclamation and I give my heart to Jesus Christ, there will be a difference in my life. Period. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they might have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I hope that's not one of us here that loves and practices a lie. That you're living your life as this person, but you're really this person. You're not who you say you are. But you're true. You're who you are through and through. You're honest to yourself, to others, and most of all before God. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, I will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Your name, brothers and sisters, can be blotted out from this book. The Bible talks about the books were open, but it talks about the book. And the book is what we need to be concerned with, that our name is in that book and that our name is not blotted out from that book. That is possible. We cannot add anything to this. We cannot take away from what it says. We must obey it. Remember, it is my ceiling. It is my floor. I can live within this parameter, but I can't exceed it. Because you will not make it if you do that. I'm sorry, it's the end of the book that says it. He said, he who testifies to these things says, surely, I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Romans 8:1 yet says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is condemnation for those who say that they walk in the Spirit, but they're walking in the flesh. The Bible tells us. Can we live out this faith through the grace that God has given us in our daily lives? And people will notice. People will see there's something about you. And brothers and sisters, we are in a day and a time where people are looking. They are looking for something. They want some answers because this world is awful. It is unsettling. But thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift that He has given us, that He has made us heirs and joint heirs of Jesus Christ and of the kingdom of heaven. Can we be faithful unto the end? Let nothing hold you back. Shall we stand for prayer? Father in heaven, your word is so powerful. Would you convict us? Would you implant that word on our minds and in our hearts? God, would you make that we can't get away from it? And then that we would practice and we would live out those things which you have promised us, good and bad, in your word, if we do, if we don't do. Thank you for each one here this morning. Might we be faithful to you until you come back and we hear those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Thank you again for meeting us here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.